The city of Bloomington takes the next step toward finding a buyer for a prime piece of real estate.
We think we're at a point now where we're going to start to see some things happen really, really soon.
That's Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, May 28th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the City of Bloomington and Illinois Wesleyan University ramping up their marketing efforts to find a buyer for the former Mennonite Hospital and Electrolux site. More from GLT's Eric Stock.
The City Council tonight will consider a contract with a Caldwell Banker commercial realtor in Champaign to market the 4.1-acre property in the 800 block of North Main Street on the south end of the Illinois Wesleyan campus. The university has already approved the contract.
I think it provides an additional level of focus on getting the site developed. Not that there hasn't been, but there were things that had to happen in order to get us to this point.
Deputy City Manager Billy Tyus says city staff has been laying the groundwork for potential sale, compiling data such as tax history and utility access that will be included in the pitch to developers. City officials said last July when they started marketing the site, they had hoped to have bids by the end of last year. Tyus says the city has fielded inquiries about the property, but didn't go into specifics.
As it relates to, you know, the economy and the development world over the last several years, it hasn't necessarily been the best environment for development over the last several years. And so we think we're at a point now where we're going to start to see some things happen really, really soon.
The city and Illinois Wesleyan are looking for developers to build mixed-use structures with retail and commercial outlets on the first floor and upper-story residential units. Caldwell Banker would get a $100,000 commission if it finds a buyer. Tyus says it's too soon to say whether the city would be willing to offer financial incentives for a project at the site. The council tonight will also consider formally establishing the city's downtown cultural district and setting its geographic boundaries. It generally would cover the area from Grossinger Motors Arena to the south to the Bloomington Creativity Center to the north. Tyus says the city wants the approximately 20-block area to have a distinct identity.
We talk about, you know, the city's cultural district or the district or whatever you might call it. You know, it creates a sense of place, and you know what you're getting when you go there.
And the city council tonight will consider a new 3-year contract with the 64 Bloomington Public Library employees who are members of the AFSCME Local 699. The agreement removes accelerated pension payments through sick leave buyback for employees who stay past November 1st. I'm Eric Stock.
And among the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom, all the action in Springfield as the legislative session comes to an end this coming Friday. Voters will decide whether to change Illinois' income tax structure after the House approved Governor J.B. Pritzker's graduated tax proposal yesterday. State Representatives Dan Brady, Keith Summer, and Dan Calkins all voted against it. Still on the table in Springfield, marijuana legalization, a capital bill, and a whole lot more. Stay with us at WGLT.org for more. GLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas, comes your way today at noon and 6 p.m. Today, you'll hear about the American Red Cross reporting a critical shortage of type O blood. The agency says it has less than a 2-day supply at ERs. GLT's Eric Stock talks with a Red Cross board member and super donor, David Laube, about the problem.
Surprisingly, the number one reason is people said they just hadn't thought about it. That's the research shows that that's why people, what they tell us. But also there are people that have unusual ideas about they think it's painful, or they think it takes too much time, or they think because they had a disease or a problem or a health problem at some point in the past that they're ineligible. And many times that is not true.
How often do you have a conversation with somebody about this, addressing their concerns and showing them that their reason may not be valid?
Well, first of all, I've got literature in my office. I wear lapel pins daily about the Red Cross. I've got two of them on here again today. A lot of times when I'm standing in line somewhere, people will say, what are the pins about? So that gives me an opportunity to tell my story and to encourage people to donate blood. And if they can't donate blood for some reason, physically, for example, I said, you can always volunteer. You can always give money. And we have a, you know, it's a volunteer organization. So when I got on the board, the thing I was most impressed with is the amount of induction training you go through and ongoing classes and ongoing education as board members to help us facilitate within the community to urge other people to get involved, donate blood, donate money, donate time, and give a little bit of yourself to help other people, because someday you or I may need blood ourselves.
Well, the Red Cross has been offering $5 Amazon gift cards for those who give, and the Red Cross has done promotions like this in the past to spike donations. How effective have those campaigns been?
That I'm not totally aware of. I know they try different things in different times to try to urge people on, but I think most people really come and give because they just have a passion about helping other people. They want to do something good, they want to do something right, and it's an easy way to give.
Is there a threshold where you think the pot could be sweetened that would encourage more to give?
That's a good question. I haven't really thought about that. I know Maria Henneberry, our Director of Marketing and Media, is really one of the people in charge of that. She's relatively new to the organization in the last year herself, and she's just doing amazing outreach with the media, people like you here at GLT, to get involved, that we need to get the word out and keep encouraging people to get involved.
That was Red Cross board member David Laube with GLT's Eric Stock. Hear more of this interview at noon and 6 p.m. today on Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, the Normal Town Council will be touring ag manufacturer Brandt Industries later this morning. Council members recently approved an extension of a tax break zone to prep for an expansion project at Brandt. And the Connect Transit Board of Trustees is scheduled to meet today at 4:30 p.m. Those meetings are held at the Transit Boardroom on Wiley Drive in Far West Normal. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.